Hello, and welcome to Apocalypse Video's look at the gentle giants of the sea. Whales. All month long, we'll be discussing everything from augers to humpback whales, as well as a special once-in-a-lifetime look at one of the rarest whale species on the planet.
So this is what the multiverse looks like!
Oh. This is February. In this final installment of February, we take a look at one of the rarest whales on the planet. The comeback whale. A giant in Hollywood, he rose to the top of the food chain in the late 90s, soaring through jungles and winning victories over mummies in the desert. But the seas of Hollywood can be a treacherous wilderness and filled with predators. And sadly, the comeback whale would be one of their many victims. But, like the best stories in cinema, this one has a happy ending. For years later, the comeback whale would return to dominance once again, earning the respect and highest accolades of its peers. Though researchers are divided if the comeback whale's latest venture is truly his crowning achievement, one thing is certain: the results are welcome. For everyone loves a good comeback tale, and this one is called The Whale.
I know these rules can feel constraining, but remember, the point of this course is to learn how to write clearly and persuasively. Think about that. Think about the truth of your argument. You're an amazing person, Ellie. I couldn't ask for a more incredible daughter.
Are you actually trying to parent me right now?
Who would want me to be a part of their life?
You don't stay in touch with Mom?
She really only tells me things about you.
Why?
Because that's all I want to know about.
Why'd you gain all that weight?
Someone close to me passed away, and it had an effect on her.
You haven't seen her since she was 8 years old, and you're gonna reconnect with her?
Sorry.
I don't like this. This isn't a good idea.
I'm sorry.
You say you're sorry one more time, I will shove a knife right into you, I swear to God.
Go ahead, what's it gonna do? My internal organs are 2 feet in at least.
Why do you suddenly need to see her so bad? Why now?
Liz.
I'm worried that she's forgotten what an amazing person she is.
I need to know that she's gonna have a decent life, where she cares about people, and that she's gonna be okay. I need to know that I have done one thing right with my life.
Mike, before we get into it, I have a question for you.
Yes?
So, previously on the podcast, you had said that arguably the worst movie you've seen on this show was Passion of the Christ. Is that correct?
Yes. Oh, I mean, well, I think I've also said Cutthroat Island. I mean,
Cutthroat Island, okay.
Only when you want to fight.
I mean, I think, to be fair, to Cutthroat Island... Cutthroat Island doesn't have like the whole gauze of like anti-Semitism over it. So Passion of the Christ has it edges out on ickiness, you know?
Well, so is it fair to say after watching The Whale, can you add a head to your Mount Rushmore of bad Apocalypse Video movies?
You know, The Whale did not dethrone any of my titans.
Well, but no, not dethroned, but is it up there with them?
It might be, you know, if Cutthroat Island is like George Washington, a Passion of the Christ is like Abraham Lincoln, this could be Teddy Roosevelt.
Wow.
Okay. Well, spoiler alert, people. I can't speak for Ryan. I can't speak for Ryan or Mike or Jackie, but I thought this movie sucked. Darcy blows. I'm your host, Dave, joined again by my,
got him.
My fellow cinephiles, Michael.
Can I take another hit?
You smoke weed? I'm also joined by Jackie.
She's evil.
The funniest, best line in this
that
movie.
That was the she's funniest evil. Part of this movie, of this it's terrible the, it, fucking movie.
It honestly, I think, was the best arc.
Charlie, she's evil.
And finally, Ryan, let's see if you can come up with a quote better than that.
Rico, two.
Did what, you say what? Rico?
Rico two? What are you? What was this? What
two you meatball Utah? Subs? Utah. Sorry, what did I say? Rico.
Oh, you said Rico.
What is Rico?
Okay, wait. Maybe you're thinking of Johnny Rico, Johnny Utah, Johnny Rico.
So
Johnny
you're
Idaho, where the film took place.
So Ryan, was your quote a quote from the movie Point Break, where they also order two subs like they would do in this movie?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the character Charlie the Whale does, so we
hey, he's not the whale. He's not the titular whale, okay?
We as the audience understand.
All right, I can't believe I have to defend this movie I don't even like that much. Come on, guys. You guys need to chill the fuck out. Also, Passion of the Christ.
We're watching, so we're talking about the comeback whale, as he's known, Brendan Fraser, in Darren Aronofsky's The Whale. The Whale. And I had heard about this movie when it came out. It was kind of one of those divisive movies. It seemed
polarizing.
Like the most. It seems like the most popular. It seems like most people are like, yeah, Fraser's good. The movie, and some people thought the movie was great. After having watched it, finally, my takeaway on this movie. You guys remember Tropic Thunder, right?
I do. Yes.
This movie feels like a fake movie that you would see in a parody movie making fun of crappy Oscar bait movies. That's what this feels like. There are points in this movie where I'm like, is this a real movie? Like, it feels fake.
I do. Like, I mean, I'm sorry, Ryan. I think this movie is like, it's no. I'm trying to think of like the way to say, it's like disastrously bad. I think it's an awful movie. I think it is very... At the end of the day, I think what this movie is like immature, and
but
it feels
it's very mature.
It feels very like one dimensional, like no, it's, those.
It's such a one. It's a slog to like any moments of characters or actors like providing an interesting performance is drowned out by just how fucking cruel and nasty this movie is while saying that it's about positivity.
Well, like, why didn't you guys see it when it came out? Like, what's the deal?
Because it looked bad.
Like, what's the problem with y'all? This is, you know...
Because the whole stink on it, too, of, like... It turned into like, oh well, what you know? We're portraying this obese person with all these like padding and makeup. I don't care that much about that. Everyone wanted a win for Brendan Fraser so much because this is like post like everyone understands like how shitty Hollywood was.
And there's like a meta thing too because like he obviously never got like morbidly obese, but there was a lot of him being like, drugged through the tabloids about being fat. So there's definitely like a meta connection that he would have to, you know, playing a movie where he's someone who's really fat.
And then it turns into like, really? The fucking Oscar? Like we all, I know that awards are political, you know, bullshit. None of it matters. None of it's actually like.
At this time, they didn't even watch all the movies that were nominated.
Yeah, literally. So, but it's like, yeah, we're all happy to see Brendan Fraser like. Back in the biz, like he is a talented performer, but with this,
and I wish it had like, been for any other movie. George of the Jungle, give it to him for George of the Jungle. Why not?
It feels
not the whale.
It just feels like such a like you're watching like a college production. Is like kind of the vibe,
it
like
feels,
a college
this
theater
was based
production.
On a play, right?
Yes,
it was, and it definitely feels very play like, and I don't dislike about that movie. Like one thing I would not criticize about this movie is like, oh, you're just in the room the whole time. I think it's totally fine.
I didn't have a problem with that.
And I think they make it work. And that's not easy to do to like make a movie work that is Like, Jackie, you were saying it's a slog. In some ways, it absolutely is. But I don't think that this movie, you know, like some others we've talked about, I don't need to drag their names through the muck again. Like some other movies we talked about, that they do just become, like, interminably boring and dull. And I don't think this movie is ever that. I think that this held my attention the whole way through. And actually, more than I was surprised at that. So that is like a positive, I would say. But yeah, I think the material, like what is here, I think it's like grating because I've been through like high school drama and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it feels like that. It feels like I'm watching something that's like that level and like that level of writing, and like not just the guy's fat. It's not just that. It's all the characters.
All of the.
They're the most like one dimensional, like I am 14 and this is deep, like arcs.
I will say, to your point, I don't mind that it like, yes, it's it feels a little stagey in that it's set in one place as you would do a stage production. I have a problem that all of the dialogue, like you're saying, it feels like, all right, it's time for acting class. I'm doing the monologue of annoying daughter. And wow, it was really... Also, I will say...
Evil daughter, Jackie,
evil daughter.
Please.
I will say, I did... Like, there was a lot of acting in this movie where I'm like, all right, Brendan Fraser, all right, you know, Hong, what's her face? Sadie Sink was a fucking stink. Sadie Stink. She was bad.
Sadie Sink was the daughter, right?
Yeah. And I thought her performance was not good. And also,
you know who was great is the mom.
The mom.
I think the mom is the best part of the movie. I feel like she is the only one who knew what kind of movie this was.
I was also I was reminded watching this. I'm like, what is this? Yeah, what is this reminding me of? You guys know the Key and Peele bit where Peele is playing like an obese man ordering pizza, but he's like making it sound like
there's a party
there's
going
like a party
on.
Going on, and then Key is on the phone. He's just like, oh yeah, like tell me more about it, you know. And I don't necessarily like that bit. I think like this movie, it's pretty mean. But it's still playing it as a joke, and this movie is doing that, but playing it so, so serious and thinking that it is deep.
It was every scene that like that scene where in the beginning where it's just like, you know, she doesn't want to give him the food. You're like, what does she not want to do? And he keeps saying, please. And finally she gives him this like whole bucket of KFC chicken or whatever that he starts eating. And just every
and the sound
scene.
Design.
Well, yeah,
he's chomping on that fried chicken.
The sound design is definitely making it grosser than it needs, like way grosser than it.
Yeah,
is.
And we're like lingering on like the fried chicken or pizza grease on his face. Like that's why this movie feels mean.
Thank you.
When I first started discovering the Tara, there was this one tag on that I can't shake, and it's going to be going up to it together. So much fun.
Oh, I've seen this one. It's good.
And it feels like it is saying, like, actually, like, I think it's like fucking Aronofsky, who's a moron, like, let's be real, Darren Aronofsky talking about, like, well, at the end of the day, it's like, what we're trying to say is that, like, everybody's human. And it's just like, no fucking shit. Oh my God. Anyway, I think this movie sucks.
Ryan?
Hmm.
All right, you're like the professor coming in. You got your suitcase, you got your coffee, you got the patches, like
you've got your essay year-old wrote.
You got your
about
great
what
essay
you
that you wrote. You've been patiently waiting. Like you are this movie's, you are the public defender for
the
whale.
Thing is, right, I don't even think this is a great movie. I think this is the second time I've seen it because look, I like watching direct movies from directors I've appreciated over the time and stuff, and I'm curious about performance. There's things, and I agree. The Sadie Sink thing was always a thing that bugged me the hell. But there's
it's
things
like we get it. She's on popular TV show,
and she acts like she's on that show, and that show
sucks.
The worst
too.
Thing. Ever,
that show
basically.
Is fucking.
What
garbage.
Show is she on?
Stranger Things.
Oh, this is a Stranger Thing?
This is a Stranger Things child.
He's a Stranger Thing.
I didn't know that.
She's the running up that hill girl. You know, she needs it to survive.
She ran up that hill. Kate Bush?
Yeah, she's Kate Bush.
I didn't get past season two.
She was probably three or four.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
She actually becomes one of the only good actors on that show. Because that's just comparing, I think you can say.
But
with
again,
other
big fish, small pond, because then she's in a movie with like actors giving like performances.
Look,
and
she's in the All Too Well video. That's probably their most watched video
of
all time.
Oh, yeah. She played not Taylor Swift.
She played not Taylor Swift in that.
She was sad.
With Dylan O'Brien, who's not Jake Gyllenhaal.
Not Jake Gyllenhaal.
Ryan, You were saying like this is a movie by someone you know watching directors of people stuff.
Yeah,
you,
and I think just because it's like one of your first guys, you know, when you're like in your teens, you know, like Darren.
I don't
Aronofsky.
Know if Darren Aronofsky is like that much of a guy for me. I kind of think of him as like he's done movies that I really like, but he's also made for me like. I feel like he's like hit and miss. Like there's some movies.
This
by
is
him
the first movie of
I
his
hate.
I didn't like. Really, I would say. I think of all the
like
ones.
I don't like Pi at all, but I like Requiem for a Dream. I like The Fountain, and like I don't like Mother at all.
Mother, like, I love.
He hits and misses for me.
Mother is great. Like they're all. I think they're all like. There's something in all these movies, and there's something in this. The second time I went into this open mind because I didn't love it the first time, but like there's parts that work. I think. And I think like it, it is very play like, and maybe watching it a second time made me feel better about that. That like these people come and go as if like this is like this location is
Grand
like
Central Station.
Yeah,
here.
Like a center
like,
of
it's literally like Jerry's apartment in Seinfeld.
Yeah, but it's like it becomes like it's like all these people have issues, and the thing is, I think the food scenes would work if the music wasn't there. I think that's what sucks about
the music.
Well, and that's another thing why I thought this there was one of the adding contributors to why this felt like a fake movie in a spoof movie making fun of Oscar bait movies.
Because I don't know, like to me, like I don't know, for someone that struggled with their weight their whole life, kind of thing. It feels like it's a drug what they're doing here. It's like him like get my heroin. I need to do it right now. And we've seen
the
that
candy
in movies,
bar scene.
But instead it's going to be like a bucket of chicken kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think like and it is cartoony, but like I don't know that it's almost some people need like hit over the head with this shit every once in a while.
But that,
well, evidently because I was looking for a quote before settling on the only good line in this movie. She's evil, and I'm coming across review of people who think that this is like the deepest thing they've ever seen, and it makes me feel crazy.
Yeah, I don't think that, but like I don't know, like I think.
But also to what you're saying, it's just like I have been. 14, I've been 15 and 16 and 17, and there are things that as a teen you are more impressed with than as you grow up and put away childish things, and you get an Aronofsky and it feels like a classic Blake Check, like, oh, you just stopped growing up at a certain point.
Yeah,
and,
I could probably agree with that.
I think there's something with Aaron Aronofsky that his
I think
bad...
he's a legit moron. I'm going to harp
well,
on
I think
that.
It's like bad tendencies of the things I don't like in his movies. I think he tends to kind of do two things, which is insert like tragedy or some sort of tragedy to up the dramatic stakes, like that's I think a crutch I think he relies on to just like it's something awful happened, like this missionary is not just a missionary, he ran away from home and he stole money.
That's what I mean, it's about like it's all these people, like it's like this like weird like it's like not like doesn't exist. It's like a new plane of existence. This little apartment, almost.
Yeah.
Like with these people that come here, kind of thing.
Which is again, it's like with a stage play, you understand like we're in a you know a kind of liminal space of like, and as an adaptation, it rings a little weird.
It's also written by the same guy that did the play, and so it's you probably didn't change a word.
Is probably not that good too. I think the play probably is like, well, so-and-so from my acting class, like, did a scene from it, and she was pretty good, but I don't like that play very... It's, you know, that feels like the height of this project, The Whale.
Yeah, a lot of I think the writing is, for me, a big... I don't think this is, for me, just Darren Aronofsky being his worst impulses. I think it's also just... There's some bad acting, like you said, with Sadie Sink. There's also... I think the writing is just not... good. Like, I think that this is, it's, I just keep coming back to it. It's just like, so, it feels so basic and one note, like all of these characters, they just, and it pours on the way that it pours on the tragedies that each of these characters have. It eventually turns to melodrama and it becomes funny. Yeah. Like, I found myself like laughing
a fair amount.
I haven't laughed that hard in a long time. That felt like, so
she's evil. Like, and I don't think I'm being like harumphing the movie when to have the reaction of laughing where they're like, she's evil. Like, especially the way this movie's gone down, I was legit expecting her to reveal like she's been like killing small animals, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
that's the that's the tone that scene has. And again, Fraser in that
it's like
moment,
we need
like,
to talk so about she, Kevin.
Yeah.
Now you know why I kept you from her.
What?
She's awful, isn't she? She's a terror. And you think it's my fault.
Wait. Is that why you kept her from me all this time? Because you thought that I would think that you're a bad mother?
At first. But later, when she was 15, 16, I was worried she would hurt you.
Hurt me? It's ridiculous.
I don't take any pleasure in admitting it. I'm her mother, for Christ's sake. You know, I spent way too much time telling myself, you know, she's just rebellious. She's just difficult. Charlie, she's evil.
She's not evil.
And I'm just like, you're like, wait, what is this going? It's like, no, she's just posting like bullying shit like, on Facebook.
She's just a little cool
teenager. But like, again, of just like, wow, she wrote this this haiku, which made him so happy, but it's about how like grumpy she is.
I think that that's one of the only scenes I like too, though. I mean, the thing is I think the thing is.
But again, it's like because Fraser is a talented actor and can bring emotion to it. I think the actual like what is written on the page is poop from a butt. Like
he there's like moments like he okay so. Like, I hated her, too, the first time around this thing. And she just tanked the whole thing for me, basically.
You're talking about the daughter?
Yeah, and in this time, I was like, let me see if there's any nuance in any of this kind of thing. And I think, like I'm not putting it, I think the first time you're watching it, you're not putting it into the fact that she's, like, 8 years old, her dad left for, like, and this is, like, in the, you know, I guess it takes place in 2015 or 20, whatever, but, like,
yes.
So it's maybe like the early 2000s. Dad left for his like student, you know. So she has that in her head her whole life, and her mom hating them, and she's an alcoholic. And you're like, of course she's a little evil kid. And so like I'm like, okay, maybe. And I'm like trying. And so he's trying to find the good in that kind of thing. And like it's like, oh, she's acting out, and like maybe she can change this into something that's artistic and stuff. And I think like I don't know, like it sucks, but like I'm just like. There's something there, I think, a little bit. And the thing is, I think she acts it like stomping, which is what sucks. You know,
yeah,
she's,
I guess if there had been like an actual like performance there, like maybe it would feel different. But like it's so stunted by the nothing that she's bringing to the table.
I think it also comes across that highlights another one of the big problems for me with the character of Charlie, the whale. I feel
he's
like
he's not the whale.
He's not the whale.
I think that he, you know, they want you to, at one hand, be disgusted by him, and at the other hand, really like him. They want you to really like him.
I think this movie is wallowing in.
I think I don't think I don't know. I don't know if you're just supposed to be. I think you're supposed to be just more disgusted with the situation. That's how I take it now, watching it. Where I'm just like, oh, this sucks. Like, this is just like, I'm not like disgusted with him. And that's what's nice about with the Hong Chau character and stuff and all these things is this like, she's hanging out with him and likes him and stuff. And I think all these characters do like him. That's the
and
thing.
And that is sweet. And then you get to the fucking like choking on a hot dog, which again turns into just this melodrama like slog. It feels.
Then you get the reveal that she's the sister of his lover and stuff like that. And it's just like all these things like, she now is this lost character that lost somebody too. And so it's like, I think that's why it becomes like this weird, like we're in like almost like the damn, between heaven and hell, like kind of like a, like purgatory is what this is. And I
literally
think,
So go ahead, Ryan.
I don't know. I just
he jumps into.
I'm taking the movie for what it is, and this is what it is.
Absolutely that. Like there's like a there's a thing at the end where they're like walking away, and it looks
light.
Like they're walking out. All the characters are leaving. Purgatory,
again,
basically,
so
and they're all like, yeah, it's like framed like they're going into like the Lord of the Rings, like Easter lands or Western lands or whatever.
Yeah, and I remember when the movie started, like a couple things hit my mind, like why is this in 4x3? This seems like a pretentious.
To close you in more. It's to close you into the room.
I don't.
And also to make him taller and bigger in screen. It's like, okay. You know?
Maybe it plays better in a theater for that aspect. But another thought I had, like, and this ended up like going into what you were saying a second ago, guys. Like the lighting in this movie. My first thought was like, God damn it, movies just are not lit well now.
I think it looks beautiful.
You find out later that that's on purpose, and I'm like, okay.
It's like muddy, and I think it looks nice. I think it looks better than, like, movies don't look like this, I think. Like, nothing looks like this weird movie, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, for this, I'll give it a pass for this movie because it was intentional, and like you said, he is, like, in this purgatory, and everything sucks, and he's just, you know, trudging
It's just,
along.
It's lit
like,
by the lamps in his place. I was looking around my apartment while I was watching this, and I'm like, my place doesn't look much different than this fucking shithole, and I was just like,
that is not true.
I didn't watch, the first time I watched this, I didn't watch it at home, I watched it in the theater with a bunch of people crying, but I'm watching it at home, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm the whale, that's how I feel like. You know?
Oh my god!
Like I said, I didn't mind
people
it ultimately
crying.
Because it was an intentional choice. Like as you said, the door opens and suddenly the light comes in and it looks like an actual lit movie. But I guess it was more of just like a reminder of like for me, just it got me thinking of just the sorry state.
Yeah,
of
choices,
lighting
like
in movies,
and
that was kind of thing that was in the back of my head.
Should we say like what the movie's about? Anyone's listening?
Let's let Ryan do it since he's the most.
Well, I think it's, I don't even. I think this movie has like these spikes. Of good, and then it's bad again. It's like, but good. It's like it's a roller coaster. I think
before we get into the plot, you just said, Ryan, of seeing this in the theater with people crying around you.
Yeah, it was packed, full. You know, sold out.
Unbelievable to my, and it reminds me. And again, I don't think I am like the fucking smartest person on earth. I don't think I am a film critic. I'm some fucking loudmouth broad. But it reminds me of when I saw one of the times when I saw Jordan Peele's Nope, and I left the theater. I was like, oh, I love this. That was like my second time seeing it. I'm like, I love this movie. And then the people behind me were like coming out of the same movie, and the guy was like, I don't know, like, what was it even supposed to be about? Like, it didn't even feel like a movie. And I'm like, are people okay?
No, I mean, that's true. You're right about that.
Oh, my God.
People are sick.
It does. And I think I agree with you, Jackie.
It didn't
feel like it's the most blunt movie I've ever seen. It almost felt like I could imagine people going into this seeing like, oh, my God, morbidly obese people exist? Oh, my God.
And they're human beings,
you know what I mean?
like me?
It had all the subtlety of a sledgehammer. I just am
sad about the state of the world, and I want people to stop being fucking morons.
Jackie, if I may.
Yeah.
I feel like rarely, only in, you know, Sean Connery, James Bond movies at their most sexist, do we get a response with such emotional fervor from you? And I'm wondering what about this is do you think making you have such a strong?
I think it's honestly, I will say it is the a good part of it to me is how stagey it sounds and feels. And like I said, I can appreciate the choices for visually it being stagey. I don't mind that.
The sounds is the worst part.
This is coming from a lifelong theater person, fucking nerd over here. It's poorly written. The dialogue fucking sucks, and it takes me back to being a teen in theater classes and all that stuff, and just reading some garbage.
I think that's what it is for me too. I think it's the theater kid like part of my
where I'm like, okay, good plays exist, you couldn't adapt that, you couldn't like why does this movie exist.
I would be really curious if a friend of the show Madeline has seen this and like where her, because she's obviously the most theater of all, you know, she's running the plays down in Bartertown. And I would be curious what she thought. I mean, like honestly, you know, maybe she'd like it. I honestly don't know how she would feel about this movie. I have suspicions, but I wonder if I think that might be a part of it. Is that I think if you have like some theater,
like I think the dialogue is just baggage, fucking bad.
This it just like it feels like a certain type of thing you've seen before.
Yeah, and I will say too, a lot of look, I enjoy many plays and musicals and such that were written by or produced, you know, worked on by men. But there's also the fucking theater man playwright of it all, which is this like similar to like the male method actor, you know, bullshit. It's like you are so ashamed of the fact that you have this unmasculine job or profession, or you know do make believe for a living or write make believe, that you have to turn it into like a masculine like thing actually, and it's special and it's different from all of that gay shit. And not this, look, the whale is about, you know, sexuality at a certain degree, but it's that kind of like theater man archetype that I loathe. And again, I've met him, I've known him, I've worked with him, the theater man, he's a menace. He should be stoned in the streets. But all that said, some, you know, not all men is really what I'm saying here.
I think we can all agree not all men. Not so all Ryan, men. Tell us about how this movie goes.
Look, I love men. Look, I'm hanging out with them right now.
I hate them too. Fuck.
We're terrible, Jackie. You're not wrong about that.
I'm sorry. But look, men have made a lot of good art in this world. Unfortunately, it's not present right here.
Ryan, before you take us into the synopsis, I just wanted to
I'm sorry, share Ryan. Something
real quick. No, it's fine.
After this movie was over with, I needed a palate cleanser because
I need a bucket of fried chicken.
This wasn't the most like loathsome experience I've ever sat through or anything like that. I don't want to make it sound like I'm like, this movie is the worst thing I've ever seen. And in fact, I still think Passion of the Christ is still the worst movie I've seen on this show.
I'd put Bedazzled under this, I think.
You know? Absolutely,
I'm just looking at our recent list.
I would not put Bedazzled.
Bedazzled had some fun outfits to look at.
Actually, you know what? Let's put a pin in my thought. We'll come back to it later, okay. But because it kind of relates to the end of the movie. But Ryan, what's this movie about?
I'll just try to be quick. The whale? I mean, it's a character movie with lots of different things and people coming in and out. There's not really a lot of plot going on, but basically
it takes place over like five.
Yeah, it's
six
like
days?
It's a little less than a week. It takes place, but
it's a Leaving Las Vegas.
Is that?
It's so similar to that.
Leaving
right.
Las Vegas. It's Nicolas Cage just like drinks himself to death.
It's Monday through Friday in a week.
Yeah, and so it's just like there's you know, Brendan. It's Fraser.
Like Razor. Fraser.
He plays Charlie. He's not the whale really, but he, you know, he's a big guy. He's a big guy. And we start with him, and he is an online instructor. It must be like a community college or tech school or something like that.
Yeah, that's what it seemed like.
And we're, you know, there's a lot of monologues with him. It's very, you're right. And I think this is the big detriment of the movie is it has that theater language or like real kind of amateur one. But but you figure out that he's been living in, it takes place in about 2015 or so during the election, 2016 election. I guess it's 2016.
It seems like the Republican nominations are going.
Yeah. And so there's like a little bit Trump on the TV and stuff.
It. Yeah.
In the Chattopedia, it's described as early 2016.
Oh, okay, great time in this world.
Yeah. And, basically he, you know, he doesn't turn his camera on because he's embarrassed about how he looks. He's a big guy. He likes, you know, likes his fried chicken and his meatball subs, you know, or like I said, Rico too, when I met
Utah.
Yeah,
Rico.
So I was mixing Johnny's. I'm sorry. They're both, you know, I thought that'd be a good joke, but,
I liked it after the fact.
Basically he's estranged from his family because he had a relationship with one of his students and, you know, college age students. And it left his family and has since like gained a lot of weight. He has his friend that's also a nurse played by Hung Chow, which is I think she's kind of the grounding of the movie, I think, a little bit. And she like takes care of him. He just gets things delivered to him. He has visitors that are missionaries. It's like a lot of ins and outs. You're right. It's Jerry's apartment and of what's going on.
Ryan, can you say how we open on Charlie?
Well, we open up on him on like his black screen of his Zoom call with the students, basically. And then
we start that and then we cut to him jerking off.
Oh yeah, jerking off.
The first shot we get of Charlie is him.
First time we see him.
Which I
And I'm relitigating this.
This is a runner on Doughboys. This is a funny movie to talk about in that zone of like the this jerking off to porn and eating meatball subs. It's like this movie is riddled with funny stuff like that to talk about.
It's something. They sure make choices here.
But yeah, and the thing is that while he's doing this, he's interrupted by the missionary, which is
he's interrupted by a heart attack. Event.
Well, I think that's what I would set this movie. I would kind of describe this as a little bit more. You were never saying it's a few days in the week. I think we're seeing a pivotal, like I was saying, leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah, I guess it is. It is the
you're
the,
watching
the,
him
the titular,
die. Like he starts.
Yeah, this is the moment that sets off his dying, basically.
Yeah, he's basically from the first time we see him.
Have you never got a heart attack while jerking off? Like you guys, what are you talking about?
You've never been.
Yeah, you've never done this.
He's having congestive heart failure, and the whole bit. he doesn't want to go to the hospital.
It sets like the
He's
countdown.
Just
clock
let himself die.
Yeah, it sets like the countdown clock. Because he doesn't want to go to the hospital, which we find out like he ends up having a lot of money. He doesn't go anywhere, but he does spend a lot of money on delivery.
Well, and I do think it's like he's definitely try even before you know about the money. It's clear he's just trying to kill himself.
Yeah.
Like
I guess
anyone you go to the hospital and accrue mountains of debt or whatever. At least you're alive.
Suicidal, and we learn after the fact that you know he lost his boyfriend,
who was also suicidal.
Yes, the boyfriend
is so sad.
Suicidal, because he was gay from this religious family. We also get the details, and again, I'm like,
it's soap opera.
It's such a soap opera. It's the staginess of it, where we learn that his boyfriend was dangerously thin in his suicidal.
Yeah, it's
turn.
The yin and yang.
Isn't that so symbolic? Poetry, it rhymes.
He wouldn't eat. He basically let himself waste away by not eating,
and then killed himself. And so his sister was the friend who now takes care of Charlie.
We're kind of seeing the troubles of him and how he gets around his apartment and deals with his students and how his relationship with his daughter has crumbled, basically, kind of
thing. And so, I think you kind of see it's very much like it does the thing of like Tuesday Wednesday.
It's like setting the countdown clock for him
and you do see him throughout this movie. Like, he seems like he's dying, and I think that's a credit to Brendan Fraser that it is kind of subtly.
He gets worse.
I think he plays the getting worse effectively in a way that's probably, it seems tough to do, to kind of play like, okay, now you're having a heart attack, but it's like a little bit worse. I think he builds that arc well. Like, so by the end of it, he does feel like it's like, oh yeah, he's about to die at any second.
It kind of, there's the things that I don't like about the movie. Like, we saw it together. Flight. Did you see that, Dave? Mm-mm. The Flight, the movie with Denzel Washington
Dave.
You didn't see that? I swear we would have saw that together.
I.
That feels like a movie we would have saw.
Is that Alcoholic Pilot?
Your Honor?
What?
I'm eating meatball sub right now.
That's not in the movie, is it?
Rico,
that's a thing in the movie I don't love, and that was just like he's just like, oh, Denzel's gonna drink again, he better not drink, kind of thing. And that's kind of the issue with this movie a little bit, but I think it could have been played. It's really that fucking music, and I think if it didn't have that, it would feel so much different. But this whole
he is ill, not just
Darren Aronofsky,
his heart, but he has an addiction to food, and it's
literal drawer of just full size candy bars and stuff.
The music here was done by Rob Simonson, and I'm saying that because I know a lot of Darren Aronofsky movies have used the Kronos Quartet for soundtracks to great effect. Like Requiem for a Dream, like one of the big things about that movie is a soundtrack. And I do wonder what this would have been like if Kronos Quartet had done it. Like, I feel like there's a way that if they had done some different.
It almost feels like a movie that doesn't need music in it, really.
Yeah,
I think.
I agree.
Maybe just like music from the, if he's listening to stuff and everything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like only diegetic.
But I don't know. The movie to me, like, I mean, it feels like it looks and feels, if it didn't have this thing score, it feels like depression and stuff. And like,
yeah.
And I think that's, it's, and it is stagey, but in, and I think in a way, maybe for people that don't feel this or something, like it's like a, maybe that it hits harder or something for them or something. But I don't know. I was trying to just go into it because I didn't love it. It didn't click with me the first time.
Why didn't it?
It was really, you know, there's a Sadie Sink stuff just felt like she was like stomping, like she was like a Angelica Pickles, you know? It
she's
was like
really bringing nothing.
Yeah. And I think I was already soured
she's
by.
She's evil, Ryan.
She's evil.
I'm kidding. Jesus.
Charlie was interested in hearing more about my church, and I brought some
literature. Are you Mormon?
No, I'm from New Life.
Oh. Yeah, that end times cult thing.
It's not a cult.
I'll tell you one thing that I like about religion. What I like about religion is that it assumes that everyone is an idiot and that they're all incapable of saving themselves. I think they've got something right with that.
I don't think
that. What I don't like about religion is that when people accept Jesus or whatever, I suddenly think that they're better than everyone else. By accepting the fact that they're stupid sinners, somehow they've become better and they turn into assholes.
I don't really know what to say. I have some pamphlets that I think would why did you just do that?
Are you coming back tomorrow?
I'm not
sure. Come back tomorrow. I'll be here in the same time.
I'm sorry, what's happening?
Yeah, and then this time I was like, what is her deal? Like, what is she trying to do? What was she told? Maybe, like, I could... This is a cynical take of this thing, but like maybe they were like, oh, we can get some young people in here, getting her in here. She's popping off right now. She's in the Taylor Swift video. Mm-hmm. And like, maybe that was like a A24 note. I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't be too shocked. That was watching the movie. I didn't like her performance because it wasn't well acted and the character is not well written. But also I was just thinking of like, imagine a world in which they cast a young woman who is not thin or not, you know, conventionally attractive. Like the fact that she is so like young and beautiful in the mix of this movie like feels out of place. Like what if she looked more?
Yeah, that's it.
Everyone else is pretty like, you know,
down to earth,
homely.
And like,
they look like normal people, yeah. And she looks like she's from Beverly Hills.
And it's just like, oh wow, I just happen to have these like perfectly groomed eyebrows and like full lips, and it's just like, okay, we get it. Stranger Things.
Yeah, that could be. That's a good point. I think maybe she's like, but I could if I was to play like the. I don't know. I keep trying to defend. Like I'm wrapped up. I'm not to try to defend this, but like
the movie. I will say it did well. Like I'm just looking at the box office.
Yeah, it was a success.
It's huge. Yeah. And then she's supposed to be like the angel of this movie with all these ugliness or something. I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out.
I guess, but we learned
she's
that
not
she's
supposed to be the angel. She's like a. She's
I'm just saying, like she's like there's like hope there or something. Yeah. You know. I don't.
I mean, she's the god. The another thing about this movie that I just felt was like watching it felt icky because it feels so mean after like I think it's the first time she comes over to his place.
Yeah, she's
and he's like, please, I'll pay you money. I'll help you with your essays. And then she's like standing at the door and she's like, walk over to me. And he, like, tries to get the walker, and she, like, pushes it away. She's like, no, walker! And it's just like, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Like,
Well, would you do that for someone who had a broken leg? Like, no, don't use your walker.
It's a big jump. It's a big jump. I think that's a problem with it.
Yeah. I was going to say this earlier, too, but there was a lot going on. So I want to get this out, because it's a big problem I have with this movie that I haven't mentioned is, so Charlie... what I was starting to say earlier is like, so on the one hand, they want you to be disgusted by him, but on the other hand, they want him to be very, very lovable. You yeah. want to, because they want you to cry about Charlie. And I feel like this movie is, besides the gross out stuff, I think that this movie is like really, it makes me think of those Oscar parody movies, Dave. I think it's
that's
like
what just, I was thinking this whole movie.
The way that they make you like him, he's so like comically like it's too much.
She's how like fuck positive you, disgusting. He is. Like, he's just like I love you.
Yeah, like yeah. So these scenes, I'm just like Charlie is like this is so stupid, you know? Where she's like walk to me, and he's like okay, I will, you know? Or then you know holding the haiku and like she wrote a haiku. Like
he doesn't say that. He just counts it off.
It's, he says it's a haiku.
He could, I know, but he could it. Say, he if he said it, that would be one step. But he just counts it off and stuff, you know? And
he says it's a haiku, doesn't he?
I think not in that part.
No, he does not. No. He just, he okay. You see the realization on his later, face. Yeah. Like, ah. Oh,
and he starts laughing about it.
He realizes it's a haiku. Yeah, and he starts laughing.
This apartment smells. This notebook is retarded. I hate everyone. This apartment smells. This notebook is retarded. I hate everyone.
I like that part. Okay. I like that. I think that's funny. I don't know, or not funny, but I think it's a nice little moment, I think. I don't know. I don't. Well, maybe I'm less cynical about this.
He realizes that she's like, it's not that she's not trying. She's just like, this is a haiku. It's like the teacher didn't see it. I did.
Yeah.
She's using her anger in a creative outlet.
There's not but the problem that I have is not with like the she wrote a haiku as the thing. It's the Charlie's reaction. Like, and it's just again the thing I have. Like, Charlie is. It seems like. Lazy writing to make him seem sympathetic where he's just so relentlessly positive.
Well,
of course
that,
you feel bad
we
for
get
him.
That line once the mom comes in where you know things have kind of blown up and she and him are talking and she's kind of like what do you think of our shitty daughter, and he goes like she's amazing, and then
she's
the mom
perfect,
and the mom is like, "You're still doing that positivity," and it's just like, "Okay, I get." So this is okay. I get. All right, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like especially. I mean, this is the one. Probably one of the issues a little bit too, because it is just a week in this, or less yeah. than a week in this thing. For how many? There's always so many people. You're right. It's a trip of. Fucking train station of people
well,
that come in
out here.
One of
the big people
here.
Is the missionary. So, played by Ty Simpkins, the kid from Iron Man 3. It took me a minute. I'm like, where is
yeah,
he?
Yeah, I've seen
him
before, too. I was
from?
Like, where is that kid?
Wow.
But he...
And Jurassic World, we should say that.
Oh, yeah. He was
everyone's favorite.
Ryan's favorite movie.
Oh, yeah, I love Jurassic World. But no, I think, like... I wish there was a little bit more of a sense of loneliness that this movie doesn't have, I think. Like, a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, it needs, like, more, like, some time to do that. But I guess you're supposed to, like, assume that kind of, like, that thing. But, like, I think, like, if you are in that state of, like, feeling so down on yourself and just sorry to exist with other people, like, and helping you kind of thing, and not accepting the love of other people. And that's the big thing about this movie, I think, more, is that it's, like people do love you and remember that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I think when you're in that state where you've not been able to think of that, you having anybody around at all, it feels like, and you all you want is that connection of people. And
yeah, it doesn't feel like true to some of the material where like a movie that with this kind of subject matter, I feel like you'd expect it to be overall just a quieter movie.
It is a loud movie. But, I think you're right.
Yeah, which isn't really like.
So I think what I'm trying to grasp to is just like what if like it would be a different version of this movie, I guess. But like if it like I guess that the feelings that it's trying to get across and how many people reacted to it or what like I maybe they thought they were doing and maybe didn't quite get it because I was and maybe that's what helped. So watching it a second time and not and just like knowing the stuff I didn't like was like, what can I get from this? And I'm just like, look, you've been there where you like haven't talked to anybody for a couple days and you're in your house. And then all of a sudden, and then like all you want to do is just go and do something kind of thing. And then when that happens, you're almost like, oh, you're all leaving. It's like it's upsetting and stuff for people. And I think like that's I now watching it again, I'm like, oh, I see it, you know, and it's I don't know, like, I can't think of another movie like this, really. I'm trying to like of capturing that feeling a little bit.
What about the, is this, have you seen The Wrestler by Darren Aronofsky?
Yeah, but that's so like heightened though. This is just sitting on a couch and jacking off, you know. It's like the, you know, it's like the, it's a little bit more reachable than like body slamming a guy in a ring, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same. It's the same story, you know.
And directors are attracted to the same stories over and over.
Yeah,
I see what you mean, though. It's just like that. The pizza delivery guy.
Yeah.
One of the recurring characters is the pizza delivery guy. We don't see for most of the movie. He just drops the pizza off, and eventually, at a certain point, the guy's just like, "Hey, dude, I've been delivering pizzas here a long time. My name is so-and-so. All right, nice to meet you." And then over the course of the movie, he's just like, "Hey, are you okay in there?" You know, like, it's Brian, it's like what you were saying. Mm-hmm. Like, he's trying to grasp onto any sort of human interaction.
Well, even Charlie's not really. Where, like, other people are, almost.
Charlie's
well,
trying
other people
to
are,
push
but
all
the way.
There's
a moment where Charlie is just like, "Thanks, buddy." You know, yeah, there's like, you could tell there's kind of an olive branch there.
Yeah.
But then, like, again, the movie just like, there were times when... I think kind of what Jackie was saying, like, where it just goes too far into the, like, how people are revolted by him. Like, when he goes out to get the pizza and the guy sees him, he's like, "Oh my God." And then he runs away like he's seen a vampire.
I think people laughed at that too. And I think, like, I agree.
He looks like
comes
such
off
a deer
that way
in the headlights.
But
yeah. And also, like, the scene at the end, the big moment when he's just like, because at a certain point in the movie, he's talking to his class. This is during the period of the week where he's like, "Fuck it. I'm just going to just eat whatever." He has an argument with his wife and everything, his ex-wife. And he's like, "No, we're going to give the money to her. This, that, and the other thing." He's like, and he just has this crazy moment where he just starts eating. He's like pouring ranch all over the pizza. It's
that,
very melodramatic and
awful.
Crazy. And there's a moment when
he's slopping
up
the pizzas. Like,
it all kind of culminates in him getting onto his class. He puts his headset on. He's just like, "Just write me something fucking honest." And then he sends it.
Yeah, that's
and
tough.
Then the next day after he's been fired, you see all the faces, and they're all, and he's like, "I'm going to show my face." And
oh,
you
my God.
See all the comical reactions of people, like, putting their
hands
in their mouth.
Well, it's so funny.
What character even takes her phone out and starts filming her monitor? I'm like, are you shitting me
right
now? Oh,
my God.
The point that, like, okay, this is all over the top. Like, the cherry sundae on top of this being, like, too much is not only does he turn the camera on to, like, he's like, "Look at me." He, like, picks the thing up,
he,
and he's like, "Let me do a pan of all of my body.
Even
get
my
it
feet.
In.
Even,
soak it all in. That's right. I'm fat. I'm fatty, fatty."
It's sort of monster vibes, you know? Like, you know, I'm a monster.
Yeah.
"I am not a human being. I am an animal. I am a whale."
It might be the most in a movie that is too much.
You guys,
you
guys aren't wrong. I'm not lying. I'm just saying. Like,
it's and then he throws the computer.
Yeah, he throws Jackie.
It honestly felt like the scene in Walk Hard where they're making fun.
Yes,
of
tearing sinks off the wall.
Yeah, it's like, dang. Yes.
Like,
people arguing and throwing things is drama.
Jackie leaned over when we saw that part. It was like one of the students, like, "Is this like supposed to happen?"
Like, should we wellness check him or?
Yeah, the I would say the guy, the pizza man reaction, I remember in my head it being worse than it is. I think
he's like,
I thought it was like, "Oh God," but he just goes like, it almost now watching him, like, oh, he's almost just like embarrassed that he stood there. He's like, "Oh,
yeah."
And so, when the first time you watch it, I was just like, "Oh my, how stupid!" Like, it's kind of like, it's kind of a scary shot because it kind of cuts to him like just standing there straight, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And we are seeing this through Charlie's perspective, and maybe he thinks like, "Oh, he ran away in fear," kind of thing. But it's just like,
you would think these characters had never heard of a person being morbidly.
Well,
obese.
It's just
like,
shocking if you don't know what's in that building.
There's
and then
a
all of a sudden this guy comes out.
There's a review by Katie Reif that I just saw on the Chattopedia that I wanted to mention. Right, there's a quote from her which I think is poignant to what we're talking about. It said that the movie thinks it's saying, "You don't understand. He's fat because he's suffering."
I mean, yeah, I guess, yeah. But it
feels like that joke from Mean Girls of, "I don't hate you because you're fat. You're fat because I hate you."
Yeah.
And like, that's what this movie's about.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's, is it? Like, I don't know. Like, it's I think it's using it. It's almost
I think like a lot of the core of this movie is setting up stuff where Brendan Fraser looks gross eating food or being fat.
It's just twice.
And though. then there's a scene where it's like, don't you feel bad about thinking he's gross? Because he's actually
he has the missionary sad. Like, do you think I'm disgusting? And then he kind of ties it in with his sexualities. It's like, I had sex with them, I had sex with my partner, like we were naked, and there were days when we just have sex all day long. You think I'm disgusting? Like, that was another angle that they threw. I guess this is probably in the play, but like, it just seemed to me like
too much paprika on the sandwich.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Like, so he's fat and he was gay.
Speaking of paprika on the sandwich, the fucking missionary smoking weed. Actually, I felt that I just wanted to save like one person, and your daughter Sadie Sink recorded that, and she found my parents and my church, and I get to go home now. And fucking Brendan Fraser's like, she didn't want to hurt him, she wanted to save him. And I'm just like, shut the fuck up.
It's just ultimately, you know, we've been kind of beating this dead horse, but it's just far too melodramatic and just.
It's tonally like inconsistent, and then it goes too easily into melodrama. And when it's not doing that, it's fucking boring. like I said, I mean there are moments where actors are acting. And
the chemistry between the emotion. Brendan Fraser and the Hung Chao character is good.
They have
a good chemistry. Yeah.
And I mean, I
thought she was the best part of the movie, frankly, Hung Chao.
I think they both are. I think she's good, but I think Brendan Fraser is also like not bad.
Yeah, he's a strong actor. Like he is, you know, you feel things even when your brain is like, this dialogue is so shitty like this. And like the scene with him and his ex-wife, where she is, I think one of the better parts of the movie. And
she feels like the ex-wife feels like she's playing it like she's in a soap opera.
Yeah. In a good way. In a good way. Yeah. But, I just overall, like, I think this movie thinks that it is, or this story just thinks that it is, deeper than it is, and I think it's about as deep as a fucking puddle. So,
quick question,
Puddle of Ranch.
Brian. One of the alternates that we had for this as a curveball to the whole whale February thing was Squid and the Whale. Do you think that is a much more? It doesn't that movie deal with depression too? Or am I?
It's also divorce and stuff. But it have you guys not seen that either, or have you?
No,
that's Noah Baumbach, right? That's like one of his earlier movies.
The thing is like the whale. Like, what is the Squid and the Whale is sort of the twist of the movie, I would say, but it's a. It's the ones in the Museum of Natural.
Do you think that's a more grounded take?
It's not really about a whale, I would say. Like, this movie is about whales and Moby Dick, which we haven't even talked about. Okay. This is the melodramatic kind of Philly play-ish kind of thing. But since the beginning of the movie with the heart attack, and he loves this, and it's revealed that here's an essay that his daughter wrote when she was a kid about Moby Dick.
We haven't talked at all about like his one of his defining character traits is he loves
it's
essays.
Like his
loves essays.
It's his what would you say his like spinach or like what's his like little
it's like his like prayer
it gets
beads.
Him through the heart attack.
It does.
Yeah, it's like
just
his
read
like
this essay to me.
Moby Dick in the amazing book Moby Dick. Just use your key. Open the door.
Oh my God.
Who are you?
Gosh, are you okay? Should I call an ambulance? I should call an ambulance.
Read this to me.
Do you have a phone? My phone's dead. I need to.
Please just read it.
Okay. Okay. In the amazing book Moby Dick by the author Herman Melville, the author recounts the story of being at sea. In the first part of his book, the author, calling himself Ishmael, is in a small seaside town, and he's sharing a bed with a man named Kick-Kick. What is this? Why am I reading this?
Just read any of it!
And I felt saddest of all when I read the boring chapters that were only descriptions of whales, because I knew that the author was just trying to save us from his own sad story.
Sad story.
Just for a little while.
Just for a little while.
This book made me think about my own life, and then it made me feel glad for him. Did that help?
It's like his rosary beads.
Yeah, and like, it's basically like a thing, like he wants to this to be the last thing he's like read is this essay that his daughter wrote. Because and it's really about this one line, which I think is kind of nice, where she notices like the sadness of Ishmael talking about, like trying to avoid his problems with the whale.
Yeah, because like, Moby Dick has like chapters in it that like where it's doing the story, but then it'll just go to like nonfiction whale science stuff. And she's, and the essay writes about that as like, she didn't like those because she thought that the, basically it's like the writer.
Well, not that
was,
she didn't like them, but that they made her sad.
Yeah. Because... it's like her the writer was trying to delay getting back to the sad story.
And his own, his own sad story of,
So it's like, oh, she was young and she noticed this kind of really profound thing in the, in this, this book. And I think like, and it's cheesy, like on paper, I think that's like, he needs to read Moby Dick and stuff. And that's and also him being a big guy. It's just like
it's very walk hard. Like it I is. Need you to read.
It is, but like I don't know. Like
I would agree, Ryan, because again, something. Like you get you do get those moments with Brendan Fraser, like just leaving it all on the stage and like calming himself down from like certain death, basically, like, with just these words that his daughter wrote very empathetically, and it is one of those moments where it, like. At the very beginning where I'm like, is this going to be funny? Where he's having the missionary read of this and the missionary's like, what is this? Why do I read this?
I know,
he's funny. It's funny too, the way they play that from the missionary's point of view. I would think this is a sex thing because all he knows is like he came in, he was masturbating, he had porn on, and now he's like, read this.
Read this.
I need you to read me this.
Yeah.
I can't come if you don't read it.
I have to do it.
It's so it's so weird.
And all that said, these moments of throughout where you're like, okay, this, you know, it's real emotion there. Did y'all read Moby Dick in eighth grade?
I think
that is insane.
No, I think I'd read it yet before that.
Really?
You did not read
Moby Dick. I swear I was like a kid and I probably after watching the
Moby Dick is one of the densest. I read that in college and it was one of the toughest
assigned
books.
This in school,
no, I just I think I remember wanting to read it because of
you were a little weirdo.
Page
this is insane if you read Moby Dick.
I mean, I haven't like attained any of it, but I when I looked because of the
this
page
might explain a lot about your reading.
Well, I think we were latching on to it was crazy that she was assigned to read school at 8 years old.
Yeah,
and again, it's effective. But
well,
it's
it wasn't necessarily
because kind of like,
he does say
be middle school.
That he's he got it from his mom when they were already separated.
Yeah,
so he hasn't had it since then, kind of thing.
Yeah,
but it is not a book that. That's crazy that you would be assigned that in eighth grade to read that book.
I don't even know what, like, I don't know. Anyway, you know, you guys remind me of something that, like, a movie this would pair with, which is very stagey, is Linklater's new movie, Blue Moon, that just came out.
Oh, sure, yeah. I do want to see that.
I do want to see that.
Yeah, which is about Lorenz Hart of, Rodgers and Hart before he went to Rodgers and Hammerstein, basically. And it's like the night, it takes place the night that Oklahoma premiered the on Broadway. And it's all in a bar of, and freaking Ethan Hawke's playing a little guy and standing next to Margaret Qualley and stuff like that. And it's just like him basically just monologuing the whole damn movie about his life and how good he is. And it's really a sad movie kind of thing about this. Like,
there's plenty of good. I will definitely get into a monologue movie or a monologue, you know, show or something. But it has to be good monologues.
Yeah,
like, and this is like a real snappy kind of one, but it's like literally like just a guy talking to people that come. It's like it's another place where this just like this isn't it doesn't exist in the real world, and just like
people
keep
coming in and out
of life.
And,
the guy that wrote Stuart Little, like he gives him the idea for Stuart Little and all these things, and like there's all these like little things like
a little mouse
that I think could like come across as like. What the fuck is this? Like, you know, like this is like but the thing is like, I don't know. It can work.
Why would you say the Linklater one works in a way in where this,
well, I think this
doesn't,
I think cause it is like, does take place like basically next to a theater and it's very theatrical. And I think probably acted a little more subtly and stuff, but like it's a little faster dialogue, you know, I think,
I mean,
but
it's
similar.
Like, the vibes are there, you know? Of
a little
like
bit
that
more colorful vibes, too.
Time it's, and place, like the, yeah, it's going to be snappier. It's going to be a little more glamorous. Yeah. It's, I mean, obviously more are made, glamorous like, than The Whale, but.
It's funny you mentioned this movie about real life, a real life character, like a fictional narrative about real life characters and stuff, and like especially literary people. It's funny you mentioned that. So this brings me back to what I was getting into earlier. So the end of this movie, Charlie realizes, oh, my daughter is perfect. You know, she's actually trying to help this missionary who stole some things.
She's not evil.
Ostracized from his family, whatever. Now they want him back. There's a moment where she gets there and she's there, his daughter's there, his friend, his nurse friend, Hung Chow's there, and they're like, come on, you're dying, we gotta get you out of here. And the daughter opens up the door, and suddenly the set is lit for the first time by the sun. And he stands up. It's the triumphant moment where he stands up and he flies into heaven or whatever.
He flies into heaven.
And this is the moment when everyone's supposed to be crying, wipe away your tears, and I'm just like,
pretty funny.
I'm thinking of like a Tropic Thunder movie, but yeah. I get back to my palate cleanser movie because after this movie, I'm like, I want a palate cleanser. I want something that's fun and light. I watched A Knight's Tale.
Oh.
And it was actually funny that I chose that, getting back to what you were talking about, Ryan, because that movie, if you've ever seen it, stars
Heath Ledger.
No, well, Heath Ledger, but Paul Bettany as Geoffrey Chaucer. And this is sort of like him gaining like material for his stories. And you find out at the end, he's like, I'm going to write about these.
Oh, songs. Like Canterbury's Tales?
Yes.
That's
yes.
Chaucer.
And he's some like bum.
I was like, Geoffrey Chaucer.
But it's
some bum they meet on the road.
That I happened to choose that movie, getting back to what you're saying, Ryan. But one of the things that occurred to me as I was watching A Knight's Tale is like this movie, like, got, you know, the characters felt real. Even in a crazy set, like anachronistic setting, I probably said that wrong. I say that word wrong.
Like you're like, playing, man, you know, Queen rules.
They're playing modern day songs like Queen and David Bowie and stuff. You know, it's a very fun movie. It's light. The emotion in it was real, especially when he's talking about his father and he meets his father and he's like, hey, Dad, like I did it. I changed the stars. Like that moment made me cry so hard, and I couldn't help but think back to The Whale, where that movie was just like, see, he's flying now. He stood up on its own. You're supposed to cry now. Like, it just felt so manufactured and cheap. And again, lowest common denominator. It felt like Darren Aronofsky was like Gallagher. Like, there's some emotion. I'm going to smash it with the sledgehammer. You get it? Yeah,
I think it's one of those movies that, it's one of those movies that makes you think the person who made it is dumb.
And I do.
Or cynical.
And it's just so
dumb or cynical. I don't know which one.
It's just so funny to me that I got way more emotion out of a movie like Knight's Tale, which is just bombastic, like, you know, crazy anachronistic movie, that to me tapped into something real, like real emotion. And whereas The Whale just, I don't know. I couldn't help but think back to The Whale and how that movie was supposed, like, making me think I should cry. Like, no.
Do you think that, like, he, maybe, and this is stupid, that, like, he died, like, at the beginning of the movie. Like, he did die at the heart attack.
Oh, it's all a dream.
But, like, I don't think he's walking at the end. Like, I think he's long dead by then. I think. I don't, you know, and he, yeah, like, he died before that, like,
oh, walked. You don't think he ever even, like, got up? I think he got up, and that's, like, what finally was too much to...
He fell to the ground.
Oh, he just fell to the ground there. He didn't fly up to heaven like he did?
Yeah.
I agree. Yeah. It's stupid. I think it's funny to talk now in retrospect that he does fly and go to heaven. It's fun. This movie is full of stupid bullshit, which I agree. I'm just trying to find some humanity in this madness.
Jackie, you summed it up perfectly, where it's like this movie thinks it's very like deep, and it's
someone has to make this bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, who's if we don't have this bullshit, then we can't compare it to other things. You know what I mean?
We all have to be 14 at some point. It's inescapable.
Well, maybe Darren Aronofsky's next movie, the AI will figure it out better than.
Yeah.
Well, he made another movie. Could have. He did. You know, caught stealing.
Well, yeah, but his latest project is, you know.
I don't know what he's, that has to be, I mean, people love money. Like I look, you get to a point where you're just like, I need money.
People love money.
People love money. In yeah, Time Magazine.
Say, I mean, I'll just say, like, his current, like, project right now is, like, a very, like, pro-USA propaganda, pro, like, sanitized version of the Revolutionary War.
But look, that thing is, it's sponsored by, okay, this, I blame the world because it's sponsored by, I don't even blame him for this. This is like,
I mean, I still think
it's
he's a
Time Magazine. It's Google. It's all these things. I'm just like, here's Google a bunch of money, and we got to get.
You don't think Darren Aronofsky has enough money?
I don't think so. I don't think he does because he's not had a hit ever. I think
he's
in any
evil.
Business.
This was this made like five times. It's
I guess
way more than.
I guess,
but that's still only $57 million.
Yeah. What is he? Ryan, he's only got like $10 million or something.
I bet he doesn't have $1 million. I bet. You know.
You think he doesn't have $1 million to his name?
I bet.
Well, it's because he's spending all his money on scarves.
Yeah,
he loves scarves.
Well, he'll save so much money with the new AI stuff.
Maybe not. Maybe now he probably did get like a good chunk of change with this you know Google Time Magazine thing. But that the whole reason for that, I guarantee, they just want like a name director, a guy that's like known for his like art thing, and they just like, can we get
I think it's super. I think it's super
evil.
Gross.
It is. It sucks. But I'm just saying, like, he's just like I love.
He's just one stupid pawn in this big evil
there,
game.
It's the same thing for the people in these damn Super Bowl AI commercials and stuff. Yeah. It's literally the same level of that. Yeah. But it's like he's like the Chris Hemsworth of that project, you know what I mean?
And to like, you know, and to it's also the subject matter is gross. It's like gross on two fronts, you know.
It sucks because it's like all these companies are just bowing down to their Lord and Savior, and so that's what sucks about it. Just it makes me feel worse about the world than it does.
So I did try to like I did really try to go into this movie with an open mind. I will say like, but there is that baggage that I have with him right now, where I'm like, I'm not like in the mood to watch a Darren Aronofsky movie, but I gave this movie, I tried to meet this movie like where it was, and there are some positives I have said about this movie, but it is, you know, as we're kind of like saying what we need to say, like this movie did stink. In some ways, it was better than I expected, but in most ways, I think it was about as bad or worse than I was thinking it might be.
I will say I came in as a hater.
I left still hating.
I will say, I said in this episode, there are some genuinely good actors in this film, and they convey some real emotion at times. And then you have Sadie Stink, and the subject
matter.
Her
name is Sink.
What?
Her real name is, I feel like we've said Sadie Stink enough, we need to say, like, for the record, her actual name is Sadie
Stink. I know
Sink.
Her name isn't actually Stink. I'm making a joke about her poor performance.
Stinks. But she does run up that hill, though.
She did run up that hill. All that said, I said it a million times.
She, with her cold, dead hands.
The subject matter bad.
She brought back, you know, alternative 80s pop music with
she
a cold
did single-handedly. Single-handedly. Anyway, she's going to be fine. She'll have a great little stinky career. It's amazing. but, yeah, like I said, I'm glad that Brendan Fraser is working again. He's a compelling performance. I wish it wasn't this. I wish that this, you know, what if a play was good? Anyway,
I guess that's one thing. If I got to take the positive with the negative, like this, I did not care for this movie, but it did bring Brendan Fraser back into movies in general. Like, he's making movies again, and I'm that makes me happy. I wish he'd won an Oscar for almost any other movie, but you know, if it means getting Fraser back in movies again, okay, The Whale, fine.
None of us do the look though. We none of us did this though.
I know. I was going to mention that, the blank check.
Audience, you can't see it, but we're doing the poster.
What did you guys... Like this. It looks like a parody.
See,
like,
we're all just trying to do that kind of open mouth stare.
Kind of open mouth, kind of sad.
It is like a parody, like Tropic Thunder movie poster for sure.
Well, it's one of those like.
What were you guys saying the whale is? He's not the whale. What do you think the whale is?
You know, all of his failed situation? Relationships.
Moby
yeah,
Dick
the fact
and
that
like
his
the whale
over.
Of life, the heaviness of your past.
I wish I'd been a part of your life.
Your grief.
Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
The grief is the whale.
Yeah. You
the
know,
reason it's the reason I eat is the whale.
Yeah. I have to escape something, everything, etc. Like he
I think this movie I know that it wants to be like deep and I like hate it so much that I wanted to be like, no, he is the whale. He is a big fat whale. That's what this is.
He's a big guy. He is the whale. I think it is funny talking about like, you know, referencing him like that.
I just imagine Darren Aronofsky sitting in a screening, like after a screening with the scarf and his hands like together and him just saying like leaning over and saying like, you know, Brendan Fraser is not the whale.
I mean, that's how I feel with trying to explain this movie.
Well, let's get into recommendations.
Try to see what if he's still in the scarf zone or if he's doing something else these days.
He's always wearing scarves.
I think these days he's kind of like where he's all the pictures I'm seeing. I'm missing. He's in a collared shirt, and usually there's a pattern on the collared shirt lately. Maybe he's graduated from.
Well, he's like I wear Dan Flashes now.
Well,
like an adult.
I think I know how three of us feel.
No, I don't recommend it.
Okay, that's all four of us then.
No, I I'm a completionist with this stuff, especially with directors. Like at one point, I was just like, I need to see what they're doing now, you know. And I'm hoping for something great. He did a movie this past year. I mean, if we're trying to carbon date this, you know, with the timeline,
who knows what year we're in?
But like Caught Stealing, unfortunately, he's like, it's a guy trying something different. This is not like any of his other movies. Caught Stealing is the same way, where you're like, you made this? Why'd you make this? And it's missing something. It's not. It's more watchable probably than this. But it's like one of those movies where you're like, what's the deal with this movie? It's sort of like, I almost find it worse than this, than The Whale, actually. But I don't know. This isn't the worst movie we've done, though, I think. Like, it's bad stuff, but like.
It's up there for me, but it's not the worst.
I pulled up movies I think are worse that we did. I think Elektra is worse, I think. Catwoman is worse.
Catwoman was enjoyably bad.
I think Jack Frost, the both. Versions are bad.
Oh yeah, that was a little rough.
And then I think Encino Man is better than this.
I agree. Ooh,
I might like this more than Encino Man.
Wow!
I
really didn't like Encino Man.
I loved the damn. I can't remember his name.
I'm in the freaking stony individual.
Cause I'm the weasel.
Dude, check out the wood you created.
Are you down to chow some serious grind, dude?
Go start some chilling major.
Totally. Holy.
The weasel. The weasel.
I think
this movie's been improved by the weasel.
I think I had the
gun
weasel.
Gun to my head, I think I do like this more than Encino Man.
Wow, okay. We did it, guys. Mike is on board.
I gave for context on Letterboxd and Chatterboxd. I think I gave this movie 1.5 stars, which is really low, right? Like, that's not good.
That's
but
pretty, yeah.
There's the 1.5 stars are there. Like, you know, I could have gone 0. I could have gone a
zero.
Half star. I could have gone 1 star. But there's like, there's, you know, when you've panned for gold, there was a couple flecks throughout all the mud of stuff, you know? There's some chemistry, like I said, between the leads. I'm thinking specifically Brendan Fraser and Hong Chau. Their performances in general are like, I think their characters still are pretty much nothing, but their performances are like, okay. And I do think it looks ugly at the end of the day, but I like that it's trying for something and like there's a thing there that
there's
it's
a
going
purpose
for.
Behind that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's enough. I don't think it works, but I like that they were trying. There were some ideas that I think were not bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd agree with you. I also would not recommend, and I like your likening it to Golden Flex in an otherwise crappy river that you're trying to find gold in. Jackie, what about you?
I wouldn't recommend. I think this movie is shit from a butt. And that's that on that. love you, Brendan.
I mean, they did.
Ryan, bring us on home.
No. I mean, I can't. It's hard to defend anything y'all have said about this movie. I don't recommend it. I just
appreciate for your perspective.
Complete, wow, the Ryan, whale is really getting not the best public defender today.
Well, but Ryan, I love that you are. You took that on to have a little bit
Your
of
problem. Honor, was gentlemen and gentle
this
ladies
is devil's
of the
advocate,
jury.
Mike, all over again. See, Ryan was sitting next to his client, and his client started jerking off in the courtroom. He's like, I can't defend this client, sir.
Well, right? I just think, yeah, during the middle of this podcast, Ryan went into the bathroom and stared into the window and had a whole devil's advocate flash.
I wish I missed that one.
That's the framing device of devil's advocate. Is
wow.
he goes in the middle of a courtroom and stares into a mirror, and then the whole movie takes place and it cuts back
mm-hmm.
to him.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
It was the mirror the
So
whole
my
time.
Reference is really, is he, if is you've it, seen like, the movie, it's really good.
There's that whole, like, in Better Call Saul, like, he's doing the, it's all that jazz, like, Showtime, mm-hmm. whatever. Is Showtime. That the whole, is that the referencing Devil's Advocate also? Or is it?
No, not at all. No.
Showtime. What do you mean that's Vince Gillian's favorite movie?
But you were saying, Ryan?
I mean, I did say that they announced a release date for Mummy 4 with Brendan and Rachel back, you know, for...
Mm.
And then he has a movie I've been watching. It's coming out, I think, streaming soon. The Rental Family looks cute.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And that was sort of a... I think he hasn't really had much of... He has had a few movies, but this is the one that he's starring in, you know? He's kind of had a lot of supporting stuff in, like Killers of the Flower Moon. And he's, like, wild in that. Remember, he's like...
Yeah, when he shows up there.
He's, like, bouncing off the walls in that one, too. He's like... Yeah. Ah, 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 ah.
I don't know. Flower Moon was...
He's chewing that scenery. It's great.
That movie was really
there's
good.
There's one positive takeaway we can get takeaway from this movie is that
Fraser's
back.
Fraser back. Yeah.
I hope he sticks around. Hopefully, he doesn't fall into another hole. But
it's such a as we've said, evil industry in so many ways. But you get some real artists, some real performers, and it makes it worth it.
Yeah,
so, I hope he gets some good projects.
Yeah, I can't. The world is bad. Hopefully,
the world is a fuck.
I'm sorry that old Darren, scarf wearing Darren has fallen into like the
scarf wearing Darren.
It's who you're around. That's what this movie's about. Keep around nice people that can take care of you. That's basically the vibe.
It's a nice image to leave February on of the comeback whale, Fraser, going into the ocean, into the sunset, leaving the muck and shit behind him. He's joining the rest of the pod. The killer whales are out there. The humpback whales are out there. And he's the comeback whale.
Yeah, you're right. Hopefully he doesn't end up in Norway and going back to people and they start riding his back.
Kaiko the whale.
Watch out for fishing boats, Brendan. All we gotta say. Ugh. So we're leaving February behind, you guys, but we'll be taking to the skies with March of the Penguins.
Oh,
I still don't understand.
The skies where penguins go?
Taking to the skies with the flightless birds, the penguins.
It's like poetry, it rhymes.
They're gonna fly in this one, though.
More accurately, March of the Penguins.
You will believe a penguin can fly in March of the Penguins.
Yes, you'll believe a penguin can fly in March of the Penguins and other bird-related films. See you then, folks.
I can't stop eating. I eat because I'm unhappy. And I'm unhappy because I eat. It's a vicious cycle. If you'll excuse me, there's someone I have to get in touch with and forgive. Myself. Oh, God. Sorry, I farted. It's a long road ahead.